We're going to read together now Psalm 34. We're going to read all of it together out loud. I will extol the Lord at all times.
His praise to the Lord is still on my lips.
I will glory in the Lord.
Let the afflicted hear and rejoice.
Glorify the Lord with me.
Let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me.
He delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant.
Their faces are never covered with shame.
This poor man called, and the Lord heard him.
He saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him.
And he delivers them.
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous.
And his ears are attentive to their cry.
But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
To blot out their name from the earth.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them.
He delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
And saves those who are crushed in spirit.
The righteous man may have many troubles,
but the Lord delivers him from them all.
He protects all his bones.
Not one of them will be broken.
Evil will slay the wicked.
Both the righteous will be condemned.
The Lord will rescue his servants.
No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Thank you. Now, we're not going to have any more slides this morning. One or two people in the survey suggested that we shouldn't always have slides for the talk. So today, I thought I'd experiment. So I'm now in very dangerous territory without my prompts behind me. Or on the other hand, of course, I can go anywhere I like and you won't know I've deviated, will you? So it depends how we look at it. Let's just pray. Father God, we ask that you will speak by your Holy Spirit, the words of my mouth, that they may be acceptable in your sight, as well as the meditations of our hearts. Speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do keep your Bibles open, 561, or electronic versions if you've got them. And we're going to look at Psalm 34, continuing to see what it might say to us for the week ahead. Have you noticed the bit at the very top? I didn't put it up for us to read out, but it says this, Psalm 34 of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Now, actually, this is really quite interesting because this is a great psalm. And if we focused only on the first three verses, we'd think this was a psalm full of praise. And wow, everything must be going right for this man who wrote these wonderful words. But actually, those first three verses, when he praises, are written as someone who is going through a dreadful time. You can read a bit about the story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're not going to look at it today. And basically, David was not king. He was basically on his own. He didn't even have his 600 men with him at that time. He had a band of a few. He was trying to make it. He ended up going into the area of his enemies, the Philistines. And then he was trying to get into that court and work there. And then people began to say, hang on a minute, this guy was the one that killed the giant, the one that's been fighting us. And so to not be killed, he made out he was mad. He started dribbling, tearing his hair, going around ranting. And the king, actually, the king of the Philistines, actually a good king. It's very interesting. We always think the Philistines are bad. This one's a good king. And he says, I'm not just going to kill him for the sake of it. Just get him out of my house. Don't want a mess. Just get him out. And so this is David at his most low, I would suggest. Or at least one of the times. He probably had a few, didn't he, David? And life is a mess. And nothing's going right. And he says, I will praise God at all times. And it says in 1 Samuel, he was very much afraid of the king of the Philistines. So he was coming not now as the mighty warrior, but as someone who was terrified for his life. But the psalm is what he wrote, presumably after that experience. And so have a look, because the first thing we learn from this is that the Lord delivers us, the Lord saves us, the Lord rescues us. And just in case we didn't know that, David tells it to us at least seven times. Let me show you. So if you've got Psalm 34, you'll find it first of all in verse 4. He delivered me from all my fears. In verse 6, he saved him out of all his troubles. In verse 7, those who fear him, he delivers them. Then you go to verse 17. He says, the righteous cry out, he delivers them from all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit. Verse 19, the Lord delivers them from all their troubles. Verse 22, no one will be condemned. The Lord rescues, redeems his servants. So the whole of this psalm is about God delivering. I wonder if you know of any times when God delivered you. I think I've told this story before, so I apologize if you've heard it. But Psalm 34, verse 8 says this, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Very long time ago now, presumably 40-something years ago, I was at university, and I was talking to this close friend of mine, but who was not a Christian, who was very, very troubled. He was very, he had quite a lot of difficulties. He'd been playing with occult and all sorts of things. And he was very, very troubled. And as you do at university, it was about 2, 3 in the morning, and he was still there talking. And he knew I was a Christian, that's why he was talking to me. And anyway, he said, I'm still very disturbed. Do you mind if I sleep on your floor tonight? So I said, I don't mind, not at all, no worries. So I slept on my bed, he lay on the floor. Now, as one does, except probably you can't do this anymore, I just happened to have a large Indian knife in my room, as one does, you know, as a student. And it was sitting at the end of my bed because it was a convenient place to show it off, you see, my Indian knife. And there it was sitting there, you see. Anyway, I woke up the next morning, and he'd left. I slept very heavily in those days, so, and he'd left. Anyway, the next morning, I saw him, and he said to me, I need to tell you what happened last night. He said, I felt so angry with what you'd been telling me, I felt I should kill you. And I got up, and I saw the knife there, and I could not pick up the knife, and I could not touch you, and I felt myself completely held back. So I knew I had to get up and leave, and that's what he did. I was completely unaware of it. I only have his word for it that that was the situation. But that morning, I had read Psalm 34. And I looked at this verse here, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. And I hadn't thought anything of it. It's one of those verses that, what does that mean? But actually God had sent his protection to protect me at that time and he had delivered me. But this message of deliverance isn't just about physical safety. It's about every aspect of our lives. God delivers us from our fears, from our troubles. It was fascinating. Philip Hunt was in the early prayer meeting. And when I shared that this is what I was going to talk about, he actually picked all of these out. He just said, the Lord, thank you for delivering us from our fears, our troubles, from our brokenheartedness, from our condemnation. They're there in the passage. And the wonderful promise. And this is why we celebrate the communion together. It's because God, through the Lord Jesus, delivers us from all of our troubles. Now, of course, it's absolutely clear that that doesn't mean that Christians don't have troubles. It actually says very, very clearly that the righteous cry out and he delivers them from the troubles. A righteous man, verse 19, may have many troubles. So it doesn't mean that we don't have troubles, but it does mean that through God we can have troubles. Deliverance. And that is what is promised in the psalm and was delivered by Jesus. And so, of course, one of the great messages that we take to the world as Christians is our God saves. Our God saves in the current situation. Our God saves for eternal life. Again, when Lucy and I lived in Hong Kong, and we had had this amazing period of time. I've never known it before. For about a few weeks, we were out sharing the gospel, and we saw 16 people become Christians. And two of them were elderly men who were both dying of cancer. And they basically turned to Christ because they were terrified about what came next. And the message of Jesus was that you do not need to be condemned or perish, but those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can have eternal life. And that's what they wanted and needed. And it was amazing to see them taking a whole collection of idols that they had on shelves and burning them, getting rid of them, because they were showing, even as they were dying, that their hope was in Jesus. He was their deliverer. Great. Okay, well, that's it. So God delivers. That's one thing the psalm tells us. The next thing it tells us is this. It tells us that there are different types of people who get saved, rescued, and delivered. So who are these different types of people? Have a look again. Verse 4, it says, those who seek the Lord get delivered. Verse 6, those who call on the Lord get delivered. Verse 17, those who cry out to the Lord get delivered. Verse 18, those who are brokenhearted or crushed in spirit, they get saved, they get delivered. Verse 7, those who fear the Lord get delivered. Verse 19, those who are righteous. Verse 22, those who are servants. Now, I read it that way, not in the right order, but showing them in two groups, because it seems like that second group I read, there are some conditions attached to this deliverance. Those who fear the Lord, those who are righteous, those who are servants. How can we be righteous in God's eyes? How can we be his servants? How do we fear him? Well, the middle of the psalm tells us all about this. If you have a look from verse 11. This is David writing, not me. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And the psalmist says it, although we know David had a real up and down in his life, but how do we live in a way that fears the Lord? How do we do it? And I thought of the verses, because I'm going to refer to them a bit later on as well, from Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching the very first sermon after Jesus has died and been raised to life again. And Peter says to the people, when they say, what can we do? He says this, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we are called to be righteous, but we can't do it in our own strength. We're called to be God's servants, yet Jesus no longer calls us servants. He calls us his friends. And this can be done for those of us who have been forgiven by believing in the name of Jesus and who have been filled with the Holy Spirit that gives us the capacity not to live perfect lives yet, but at least to do better as we surrender to him in living with our tongue free from evil, our lips from telling lies, turning from evil and doing good, seeking peace and pursuing it. So those people are the ones that fear God and God delivers them. If that was the only message, I think we'd all feel a bit, not sure we're up to scratch on that. But the great news is that four of the delivery verses I quoted, those who seek the Lord, those who call on the Lord, those who cry out to the Lord, those who are crushed in spirit or brokenhearted, those four are simply about us shouting, help, help, I need help, Lord. The verses come in Romans 10, verse 13, also in Acts 2 and Joel 2. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't know if any of you saw the film last night called Viceroy's House on the television. I'm always a sucker. Lucy wouldn't see it all the way through because it gets pretty gruesome at the end. I'm always a sucker for the Indian independence stuff. And it was a very, very well produced story. But there was a kind of romance line in it where the Muslim girl and the Hindu man, who were both kind of senior servants in the Viceroy's house, were getting together. And for doesn't matter why, but they were separated. And the girl is desperate to find him, but there's thousands and thousands of refugees around in this place. And what she does, she grabs hold of the microphone of the tannoy system, which I guess they had in 1947, and she starts calling out his name through the loudspeaker system. And he's somewhere else in the camp driving away on a truck, but he hears his name, and this was stretching it a bit, recognizes it's her, which I think is a bit unlikely through the tannoy noise, but that's by the by. We'll let that go by the by. And he jumps out and he runs back to eventually to find her, which of course was made it a nice story. But the point about it was that her shouting out was what she needed to get in contact again with the one that she loved, that she was looking for. And so, of course, we are delivered as we seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit and live for the Lord as he wants us to. But actually, when we're in a real mess, when we've sinned, when we've fallen away, when life is not going well, when we can't cope, the promise is there that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And verse 19 tells us, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them. That wasn't the verse I wanted. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. And the Lord hears them. And then he delivers them from all their troubles. So I know that I see Olive is here today, and one of Olive's, I think it's your favorite song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. If it's not your favorite, it's the one you often choose at Wednesday Fellowship. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And if we take whatever is on our heart and we bring it to Jesus, then he, the Lord, will deliver us and save us. We're going to turn now to a time of prayer in response to that psalm and to take through some of the thoughts from it before we close with a hymn. So let's turn to prayer. Let's just take a moment's silence first in to say to the Lord, have we called out to you? Do we know your forgiveness? Do we know the hope of eternal life? Let's just spend some time in the presence of the Lord Jesus, giving him praise and thanks, and making sure that we know him as our Saviour and Lord.